We function in target zones that have a 40% higher level of crime. Let me just backtrack to last summer. Last summer, we had, for the summer period, we had a 57% reduction in homicides. In terms of numbers, that means we had, just for the period of July to Labor Day, 11 less homicides in these areas. That is huge.
And that's also when you have an uptick, right?
Yeah, July 4th through Labor Day weekend is the high crime period for us of the year.
Okay, let's just take a look at that time frame at the moment right now from July to September in those targeted zones. What kinds of things did the community do?
For the summer, we have a very specific summer violence reduction strategy that basically is comprised of targeting the neighborhoods most at risk for violence during the times of the year where violence spikes the most, during the days of the week and the times of the day, Wednesday through 7 p.m. through midnight. We do work throughout the year to connect with decision makers in these communities who are most likely to be either perpetrator or victims of violence. During the summer, we basically open up the most dangerous recreational facilities from 7 p.m. to midnight. And rather than push gang members away from the park, we actually want them in the park. So for that period of time, 7 p.m. to midnight, we have 32 sites throughout the city this summer. We had 24 last summer, where there may be upwards to 500, 600 people per night at one of these sites. And some of those are actual active gang members. The rest are folks from toddlers to senior citizens. And what do? We basically come up with any activity that will keep everybody engaged until midnight. We feed everybody. We hire youth that may not be gang involved, but they are kind of on the verge. And we have law enforcement presence, and we also have gang intervention workers. Now, Candace, the issue with this is that that's not a standalone strategy. It's difficult to implement that strategy during the summer without all of the other things that we're doing year-round.
So some of the other strategies that you do now throughout the year?
You could basically divide it into three different components. One, strategies that are working to build community resiliency, meaning things that will strengthen the community to be able to resist some of these risk factors that lead youth to become fully identified as gang members. There's the emphasis on youth who are 10 to 15-year-olds, that's the age that data tells us they're most likely to become fully identified as gang members. And then we have strategies that are specifically dedicated to those who have now become committed to the identity as a gang member.
And how do you build the community resiliency?
We do, the summer violence reduction strategy is one way, because we do bring community jobs. We use local vendors in these neighborhoods. We hire coaches and officials from that area. During the year, we have, in each gang reduction zone, we have community action teams where we engage all of the stakeholders to plan things. And when I say stakeholders, I don't mean just those folks who have a legitimate job, but I mean everybody.
Gang members?
Even affiliated people, yeah. In LA, we don't like what their stake is, but we do engage gang members in all kinds of activities because our focus is limiting behavior. We do engage them in finding out what do your children need? What do your families need? What do we need to provide for you to develop a different kind of life? We actually, directly speak with them. So part of that strategy is basically we understand that in LA, gang violence has fragmented neighborhoods. And people who are not involved have become so frightened that there is no longer a dialogue between, and there's different levels of involvement, Candace. When people talk about a gang member, there are varying degrees of being a gang member. Just some numbers. In the worst of neighborhoods in Los Angeles, or the most violent-prone neighborhoods, the highest estimate is, based on research, the highest figure is that only about 15% of youth become fully identified as a gang member. Within that 15%, our chief of police maintains that roughly less than 3% are shooters. The really violent shooters, to be frank with you, that's, we don't get to engage those. Those folks, that's what law enforcement does. But it's a whole range of people that are affiliated, that, you know, got into it because of, you know, they're tired of getting beaten up in the neighborhood and they now want to get out because they've had children and they're tired of, you know, the violent life. So there's different degrees of what it means to be a gang member. It is not a stagnant condition, if you will.
So on the fully committed gang members, you have some interesting strategies there too. So when do you intervene?
Every single time there is an incident of violence throughout the city of Los Angeles, we have a three-pronged response, which is the mayor's office gets a direct message from law enforcement. We have trained gang intervention workers that get the same message, and LAPD. So you have three entities that respond to every single incident of violence throughout the city, 24/7, 7 days a week. What do we do when we respond? Let's assume there's a homicide. First thing is to try to figure out where is the retaliation likely to be directed at, because gang violence, as we understand it in Los Angeles, is primarily a huge component of it is retaliatory. So we've gotten fairly effective at reducing the pileup of body bags in result to one homicide. So the first thing we try to do is short circuit the back and forth revenge reaction between gangs. In that process, we may spend time in the hospital with family members. If the victim hasn't been pronounced, that's a particular time that we try to engage them in sort of kind of coming to terms with, is this what you want to do? So, you know, we know there are juncture points where people make important decisions. And one of them is when your life is on the line. You know, when you're in the hospital bed and you're not quite sure you're going to make it, you have a different kind of conversation with yourself. So we do target emergency rooms, crime scenes, families of gang-involved youth. During a shooting, that's a time that we can engage families to really put pressure on folks to start making a different type of decision. Once we get some commitment from someone, then we do a basic wraparound strategy around that family, you know, to try to provide job training and, you know, substance abuse stuff. Most of that work is done by folks from that neighborhood that have a certain level of credibility, and we train them to do that. So the strategy is very labor intensive. Just to give you an idea, between April 2009 and April 2011, we have responded to over 1,600 of those incidents, which is why I'm so tired today. We had one at 3:30 in the morning. So while I am a deputy mayor, I still go out, because it's important to get a real 360-degree view of, we refer to it as building policy from the body bag up.
Thank you very much, Guillermo.
Thank you, Candace.